Well, there's an old saying that if the mountain won't come to Mohammed, we need to reverse that, or vice versa. And after requesting the delightful Rosie and her team from On Broadcast come to speak to the students at the University of Lincoln, we thought, well, let's go and visit Rosie. Rosie, good to see you at long last.
It's incredible to put a face to the name. After all the interviews you do.
Well, we do our best, and obviously it's all nicely put together. It's a team, Rosie, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, it's always nice because we speak with media day in, day out, and it's for me, certainly, that's the best part of my job is making contacts and people by people at the end of the day. And I think you can be pushing anything, and there are stronger news stories, and sometimes we feel like we have to, you know, polish a proverbial, so to speak, in order to get...
Polishing the proverbial is a lovely way of phrasing it, right? I'm impressed. It's good, yes.
Or my favourite is rolling a poo in glitter.
Nice. Yeah.
But, you know, we speak with you all the time, the same as we do with contacts on TV and radio up and down the country, and it's good to know when you're, you know, shaping a story. You can go to your producer or presenter and say, do you fancy running this?
And the magic happens, which is wonderful. So, just setting the scene a little more for our team here, we've got obviously Rachel Warren, who's a final-year English undergraduate at the University of Lincoln, Katie Grimerson, who has indeed been part of the studio team, has taken part in many interviews, is currently reading American Studies and is in the final year of her programme, and Ed Wellman, who's recently graduated with an MA in Community Radio.
Yes.
And Ed, I believe you actually might have had contacts with On Broadcast in another radio station with Phoenix FM, is that right?
I think we've done some stuff with you in the past, and your team are busy, hard at work, doing what they do. So what are they doing?
Oh, well, currently we are working on a story for Monday, which is for a well-known travel company who are about to lobby government over the unfair fees, airport passenger duty, that parents are basically challenged with when they go to take their kids abroad in the summer holidays. We have some of the highest airport passenger duty in the UK. But now, if you're a parent and you take your kid out of school in term time, you can be fined for it. So that's on the news agenda for Monday, and we are doing that. We've also got a story on Wednesday looking at the importance of breakfast clubs for a well-known breakfast provider, and they help working
parents.
You can
say Kellogg's, it's okay. Shameless plug.
Yeah, Kellogg's. Look how good I'm being and not...
Yeah, I know, it's okay, it smells good.
And so, yes, that's what we're working on. And then forward planning for a lot of other campaigns. So we've got clients that are calling us today, speculating about campaigns that may be coming up. And as I mentioned, we're working with the lovely Dr. Christine Jessen from Embarrassing Bodies in a few days' time on an anti-smoking.
And one of the great things about an organisation such as yourselves, Rosie, is that you do provide pretty much a one-stop shop, both for the client and for, obviously, the broadcasting outlet. A few years ago, there was, I felt, an odd sort of shift forward where people said, oh, we'll just record one interview, then people can actually fit in their questions, which is ethically dubious, so we can't do that at all, really. How did you get into the business yourself?
Oh, I started in radio, so I was presenting and news reading, and then wanted to move to London. Obviously, didn't want to be behind the microphone enough. Obviously wasn't good enough to be behind the microphone. So, I just as it happened, you know, things.
And this has manifested. Now, obviously, in addition to yourself, we regularly speak to Lloyd and Rachel, and they also do the... Are they actually around today?
Lloyd is. He's looking beautiful in the check shirt over there.
Hello, Lloyd. Lloyd always says hello, mate, on his emails to me. He doesn't know who the heck I am. It's all right. Good to see you. How are you, Lloyd?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing a recording. You see, bless it. Always sort of through there. It's a recording device. So, Rosie, you got them well trained. Lloyd, it's a delight to meet you. There we are. Found it. He doesn't know who I am. Still, there we are. And would you like to introduce the rest of the team, Rosie? Because I think it's only fair. Otherwise, who knows what could happen here?
Oh. I'm Jessica. Lovely to meet you.
Hello, Jessica. Hi. Good to meet you. That's what Jessica, are you part of this grand team that's actually here? I get a sense it's rather like Mission Control that you've got here. You know, anything could happen. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, it's pretty manic today. But
don't press that button, for goodness sakes.
Something like that.
And who else have we actually got, Rosie? So, just mention a few
teams. Jess is on new business, so actually, you know, bringing new clients on board. Then we've got Joe over there, and Eleanor are the founders of On Broadcast. And then we've got Kelsey, our wonderful intern, who is an apprentice. Apologies.
Apprentice or apprentice intern? Just apprentice.
Apprentice. And the lovely Charlotte Olivia Skinner.
The Charlie Skinner. My word, Charlie. Good to connect with you. How are you? All right?
Very good, thank you.
So how long have you been with this fabulous organisation?
About a year and a half now.
Yeah. It carries on. Of course, it's Charlie with a C-H-A-R-L-E-I-G-H.
Good memory, yes.
Critical.
Made it up when I was 13.
Yeah, marvellous. It's great stuff. Rosie, where do you want to take us now?
I'm going to take you through to the studio, actually.
Okay.
Find my key.
I love the wheeling chairs. I mean, it's sort of driving the facilities here. It's great stuff.
Often found spinning.
I won't comment about public relations and spin in any way, shape, or form, Rosie, but you know, it's a way forward. I'll just, right, so we're now heading through to the booth, a range of other things as we're heading through. In fact, Ed, do you want to pick up co-presentational duties on this particular thing? My word, this is very good. This is genuine ISDN studio. I recognise these. And a desk, which we have worked before.
Yes, the SonFX desk. And our lovely studios. Most studios in London are subterranean, by virtue of the fact that they're usually carved out of old basements and then padded up because they're good and soundproof. But this studio has a bit of a different story. This, in fact, used to be Paolo Nutini's studio, so where all his songs, New Shoes, etc.
Impressed you, Rachel, I can tell.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Well, I could say many, many interesting things about not only this building, but this street, which I'll go on to. Studio, the room we're in was Paolo Nutini's studio, and downstairs there was another studio which actually ceased to be last year, but it was where all Chris Moyles' jingles were produced. So
strangely sad, isn't it? Really sadly ceased to be, but never mind.
Ceased to be, I know, it's sad. But like Lady Gaga, Cheryl Cole, Adele, they've all recorded downstairs. So there's been a lot of celebrities in this building and continue to be when we have campaigns on. So Peter Andre's been in here. And
Professor Tanya Byron from earlier this week.
Yes, from earlier this week, although I wouldn't quite class her as a celebrity.
She would. No, actually, I didn't say that, Tanya. Honestly, it's all working well.
And then this street, in fact, our studios are called Hoax Studios. And this street is called Hoax because of the Great Berners Street Hoax, which took place back in the 19th century, where one chap in London thought it would be a really good idea to pick on a residential house, which is now the Sanderson Hotel, just a few doors down. Mm-hmm. And he bet his mate that he could make it the most talked about street in the whole of London.
Sounds like PR to me, Rosie.
Exactly. So there's obviously something about PR in this part of London that kind of gravitates towards. But he sent out a bunch of rogue emails getting people to emails. They didn't have emails.
Are we time travelling here?
carrier pigeon maybe. But he sent out lots of letters to chimney
flyers.
Sweeps and flyers, chimney sweeps, and he made lots of appointments for doctors and people of various professions to come and go to this house, and they all turned up on one day at one time. But when the resident opened the door, she was like, I don't know what any of you are here for. So it was called the Berners Street Hoax, hence why we're in Hoax Studios.
Wonderful. Katie, thoughts for yourself?
Yeah, what would your advice be to a graduate, well, soon-to-be graduate like myself, to get into the media industry?
Sense of personal line coming across there, Rosie.
Oh, tenacity and personality are the two things, because I never went to university and I trained in drama, and I just think, as I said to Alex earlier on, I think people buy people, and I think that genuinely if your heart is in the right place of wanting to go and build bridges and open doors that no, you know, if you want that enough, then it's just a case of knocking on doors and presenting yourself and front of mind. You know, if you're front of someone's mind, then that's always really helpful, because you never know when that particular company might be in a fix or looking for someone to come in and take the burden off, or position might open. So I think if there's no harm, there's no shame in saying, hi, just checking you got that email I sent through the other day. I think some people carry the stigma that it's not good to bug people and that they must have hundreds and hundreds of applications, which in many cases I'm sure they do. But what's your point of difference? What's going to make you stand out a bit more? I think that's
a mini careers lecture, Katie. Happy with that?
Yeah, thank you.
Ed, tell us a little bit about the room through there. So your guests will sit in here, is that right?
Nope. Well, they will. When they come in, they come into this main area, which we like to say is like their home for the day, because we've got Wi-Fi and we've got TV and it's nice and light and airy and It's a nice room.
And do hearts ever sink with the likes of various other folk? And you're going to Lincoln first to think, oh, no.
No, we always love doing your interviews first because people always say, the fact that you brand as well and you're so enthusiastic, you always churn up on the guest and you always gen up on the research, and I think that really sets people off on a good foot for the day, so we're always very grateful.
Ed, I'll have to put in a salary increase, obviously.
Well, a salary at all.
And then through there is the actual studio booth, so Rachel, who sits here, is our engineer. She will sound check the spokespeople, and then it's all just a case of really connecting the stations. Sometimes we are back to back and we work in 8-minute slots or so. And then before you know it, 4 hours or so has passed and it's 2 o'clock or 5 hours has gone.
The apprentice has actually arrived, which is always very exciting, really. It's great, great stuff.
You might want to pick Pepsi, though.
How have you found the whole experience so far with On Broadcast?
Interesting. That's one word I would use to describe the experience at On Broadcast. No, it's great. It's a fun environment. There's loads of different people, loads of different personalities. It's exciting.
We always avoid any of the sort of more challenging stories, but Rosie, there must be occasional times where the talent comes in and you think, got a bit of a problem here, they're just not engaging. Without mentioning any names, any particular tales of folk who have got a product to sell, you just think, what's going on here? They're just not kind of connecting.
I think, we've had some people who have been a little bit tricky. But usually it's because they want, a soy latte, but only from one brand of shop. Well. And they want you to go and traipse to get it. And then when you bring it in, they're like, actually, I've changed my mind. Can you get something else? But we see it as our clients are paying us for coverage and we want to make their experience as nice as possible. We want them to come back and, we will do everything to make sure that day is smooth and bespoke for them. So we don't mind any of that. Sometimes we have to push back on clients who come to us wanting to advertise, a chocolate bar, and they've got some really fluffy research, and they're saying, yeah, we want to get on the one show and Daybreak, and we want to get
Midweek
on
Drive Morning Edition.
And Midweek Drive Morning Edition. And we're like, look, really, to have cut through on those kind of shows, you're going to need some really serious research and a really big guest. So we just manage expectations because print PRs, people who work solely in print, they don't really understand how broadcast works. And it is a completely different beast. I wouldn't be able to tell you the first thing about print sell-ins, but I can tell you a lot about broadcast, what producers are after. It's great fun. I see myself as a producer and a storyteller as much as I am a PR, because I'm helping shape content.
I'm getting a real sense, Rosie, of a team which is not just professional but also caring and enthusiastic, and there's a drive that's there. Now, again, no names, but we obviously work within our broadcasting field, both with Southside Broadcasting and Siren FM, with a range of companies. Some you often think they've not really got it either from that end either, and a couple of them are London-based, and they don't really think about that whole package, which obviously is key to obviously the success of On Broadcast.
Oh, that's really flattering, and thank you very much. I mean, we don't want to be seen as a conveyor belt because we're 4 years old now. So as Kelsey said, there's lots of different personalities, but at the same time, we're very much a family unit as opposed to some big kind of corporation with 30 people. And while we are targeted by numbers and you've got to enjoy the job and enjoy the people you're speaking with. And if I came to work each day and thought,
I want to kill you.
Yeah, either I want to kill you or I feel so much pressure that I have to get this many interviews secured. I just would think, what's the point? So,
Rachel.
Oh, yeah, I love your positive attitude, by the way. So, yeah, you're very charismatic as well. But it's, yeah, how do people get in contact with you then? How do you, because you obviously have to let people know about what you do. So do you have to advertise yourselves as well?
Is that in a job respect or for the stories that we have? How do we let people know about what stories we're currently working on?
How do you get people to know that they can contact you to get their stories out there?
Oh.
Or do they just...
Yeah. Word of mouth for a lot of things. And Jessica, who you met earlier on, she's new biz, so she will speak with agencies. And there's always something like National Chip Week or, National Sausage Week or...
It's OCD Week today. This whole week, indeed, yes, obsessive compulsive disorder week.
You learn something new every day. So in that respect, she might have 3 months ago got in touch with a mental health charity and said, look, are you planning to do anything over OCD week? It's really, we feel as an agency that there's real scope for this on broadcast, and we think we've given the right research and this, that and the other, we could really work with you and help leverage coverage to make people aware of people who have OCD, and that maybe we could commission some research into how still there are huge stigmas about it. Maybe we could work with a celebrity who is on the record, open and happy to talk about their, like David Beckham. I'd love to work with him, but he's got OCD.
It'll happen, Rosie, it'll happen.
Put it out there. I think if you manifest it, if it's, you know, send it out into the universe and it shall return to you. But so that's how we kind of let people know we're there, as well as people will see our work or Twitter or Facebook and then, you know, cold call. And in terms of broadcasters knowing what we've got, we have like a three-pronged approach. I think it's three-pronged. Well, certainly Alex will know that we send mail merges to our database, and keeping the database up to scratch is a job in itself. And then we will pick up the phone and call as well. And then I guess the third prong is people getting in touch with us and saying, I've seen this, or I'm looking to do something on this, are you working on anything?
Makes perfect sense.
It sounds very, very fascinating. A sort of a job where anything can come along any day, and you must sort of be expanding your own encyclopedia of sort of knowledge that you're keeping up here by the very nature of coming to work each day.
That's why I love it, because I'm a curious person, you know, I love learning, and it was the same when I worked in radio, because I was doing what you guys do, interviewing people.
You can name the stations, Rosie, if you wish. Where were you? Where's the Rosie history?
Oh, it was in Oxford, and it was on a station that was called FM 107.9, which then turned into Glide FM, which is now Jack FM, well, Jack 2. Mm. But yes, I worked at Jack FM in Oxfordshire. And again, it was a very family setup. And interestingly, the way I got into radio was really by default, which is why I think, you know, you don't have to follow any formal paths to get your dream job, because I believe that, you know, if you put it out there, something will happen. But
so does Mike Dooley, one of our regular correspondents from the Florida base. So
is that his belief? Well,
thoughts become things, choose the good ones.
Yay, I'm reading The Secret at the moment. And
he's in there in the original video of the whole thing.
I haven't seen the video, I have to watch it.
Absolutely.
I actually was working in charity and I trained as an actor, and I kind of was thinking, oh, you know, I do want to go back and do something that's creative again. And I think my issue with acting is that I was pretending to be other people, and I quite like being Rosie. So,
and we like you being Rosie too.
Thank you. And the lovely, wonderful thing about radio is that you're you, and yet in some way you're still performing a little bit. So you're like an enhanced version of yourself. And I got given an opportunity to do it. I took a £10,000 pay cut to work 6 days a week in radio, regional radio, for a pittance. But my goodness, over the 4 years I was there, it was, you know, interviewing Jerry Halliwell and, you know, Dame Bowers and bands, and going on. I got to jet ski, I went to Afghanistan, I did all kinds of incredible things. I wouldn't change that for a second, you know, even though I don't have a mortgage, I'm 32, you know, I don't have...
No, I thought 24 at the 30, good heavens.
Too kind, too kind. But yeah, you know, I think life is a patchwork quilt, isn't it? And I think a lot of people think you have to come out of university and suddenly land a job that's on really, you know, good money and that's going to have prospects. And I kind of think, or you can go and get the life experience and have fun and meet wonderful people. Because I think it's the people you meet in life that inspire you and, you know, can really open up doors more so than the actual jobs themselves.
And that, Rosie, is why I want you to get up to Lincoln to actually talk to some of our students exactly about that. The move, because obviously we're looking at these superlative studios. You've been here about a year or so now, because there was a big shift in terms of your move. Is that all now settled down? Because I know moves can be quite dramatic.
Well, we moved at the same time as the Olympics happened, which was quite good, actually, because broadcasters were so chocker. You couldn't get clients, you couldn't get on the BBC, because everything was the Olympics, which was perfect for us, because it meant that we just had the telly on in the office and we were really quiet. But it meant that we could move and get the studio set up. But I don't think we'll move for a while yet. We are growing, we are expanding. And when I was the first person that came on under Ellen and Joe, so I was the first full-time member of staff, and now we're eight. So I know that we will grow, and eventually we will outgrow this building, but who knows, you know?
Rosie, it's been a genuine delight touching base with yourself. Any final questions or queries Pokepoke have actually got? Katie, are you happy with this so far?
Yeah, it's been very inspirational. Thank you.
I've got some questions for you guys. I want to know what you three see yourselves doing once you graduate.
Nice idea. She's avoided me, Ed, obviously. I don't know what I'm doing at all. Rachel.
I always, whenever someone asks me, I always say that that's a really scary question, because I'm always like, I don't, because I do English, but my A-levels were all much more arty, and I'd quite like to do something a bit more creative, but you're really positive. It's really nice to hear you say that, you know, you can do what you want to do, and yeah, I'm not really sure. Hopefully, as long as I enjoy what I do, I'd like to travel, but I'm not really sure yet.
Thus spakes the Bury St Edmunds correspondent for the Midweek Drive. Excellent. Katie?
I'd love to get into a media-based job because it's quite creative, as you've said. Marketing, PR or events management. That's what I want to do.
And of course, you've graduated twice. Well, you've had your music... Almost three times.
In fact, I have graduated three times with a postgrad and a BMus and an MA. Yeah. But local radio is my thing. Absolutely love it. Every single thing about it. For the rest of my life.
Local but not parochial. Yeah. There we have it, Rosie. The answer from the three co-presenters on the show today.
I am so impressed. And I have to say as well, we are really impressed with your commitment at Siren FM and Southside to, you know, saying yes to as much as you do. Because I think there are a lot of BBC producers shoot themselves in the foot because they're constantly thinking about, oh, I can't do that because, you know, I don't think it's relevant enough, or I can't do that because I don't think it's, you know, I think it's going to be overbranded. And I think when you take a story, you think creatively around it and how it affects everyone. And I think that's the great thing, because I imagine listening to Siren, people tuning in, it's like, as you say, you're learning different nuggets about various different bits, and it's an expansion of yourself, really.
Well, Rosie, I think that sums it up perfectly. Your check will be in the post shortly. Rosie, for the moment, many thanks indeed. I know we've got some studio idents, but a genuine pleasure. And hopefully we'll repeat it again. I know that it's Rachel always loves those last two questions, which not really familiar when we're actually doing location reports, but have you had a reasonably interesting interview? And can we look forward to connecting with you again very soon?
Abso-flippin-lutely.